Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Ed Dufresne. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
1 Corinthians 11, and let's start with the 28th verse. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, what cause? Not discerning or having insight in the body of Christ. For this cause many are what? There's another way I said many are wimps. And sickly among you, and many sleep, or the original Greek text is many die. Many die. Father, we thank you for utterance this morning. We thank you for what you want to share with us this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We love this word. This is your word to us. This is the instruction book. And when we go by the book and we go by the instructions, then we'll live healthy lives. We'll be spiritually strong and we'll have a prosperous life. Now notice what it said, for this cause many are weak or many are sickly among you and many sleep or many die. I'd like to put it this way, for this cause many churches are wimpy, sickly, and many die because they don't discern. Now spiritually, I mean physically speaking, and we won't go on that route at least this morning, but you know, we need to discern what was provided for you and me. And I'll share maybe more tonight what God told me over in Israel when I was over in Capernaum and what God dealt with me about healing. That we're about ready to lose a whole generation of people that believe in divine healing because we went to other sources instead of discerning what He provided for you and me. By His stripes we were healed. Can you say amen? But see, when you study this out, now that's one way to go. And that's in another sermon itself. But as you study this out, you'll find out that you cannot just read the 11th chapter without reading the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter, because he's still talking about discerning the Lord's body. So that introduces it, you know, at communion that we are to discern. Now, what do we discern? There's one area. If you need healing in your body, you need to discern what He provided for you, that He provided divine health for you. He provided miracles for you, and He provided healing for you and for your bodies. But on the other area, in the spiritual realm, he goes right into the 12th chapter and he talks about other areas that we are to discern. The part of the Holy Ghost that God set in the body of Christ. And you want to know why a lot of churches are weak and why a lot of them are dying? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in cemeteries. Matter of fact, there's thousands of people in cemeteries. So I don't look at a church because they have a lot of people that mean that they're alive. And there's a lot of people in cemeteries too. And that goes over real big, doesn't it? But see, the reason that churches die, now this is what the Lord revealed to me, that after every move of God, if you notice I talked about fresh oil, I was talking about the 47, and I was talking about 1907, after every wave, and after the wave starts to wane, what happens is the people start building their tents up, you know, they're on the beach and they put their tent up, then they build their denomination and everything else, and yet they don't discern which way the Holy Spirit went. And that's why they die and weak and get into man-made rules and everything else. And it's just a structure instead of the moving of God. Can you say amen? Amen. And one of the things it is that they do not allow the gifts of the Spirit. They don't discern the part of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. See, my brother and sister, we're not just operating the gifts in a prophet's ministry, which there's certain gifts that will be stronger in that area, of course. But we're to operate in the gifts of the Spirit every day of our lives, as the Spirit wills. I mean, we need a word of wisdom in areas of what we're going to do in the future. We need a word of knowledge in different things. I mean, a lot of you know you'd have never gotten the trouble you got in if you was listening to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? We can't buy, why did God get me into this? No, we got ourselves in it. God never, He's speaking all the time. It's just that we're not listening. We're not discerning the part the Holy Spirit has put into the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? And that's why many die at the game of life. That's why a lot of churches, Most of your churches do not allow the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe, you know, maybe a tongue and interpretation, but that's about as far as it goes. Are you listening to me? See, this is why a lot of them die. That's why God's sending a wave of fresh oil from heaven. That's why God's sending a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. We came into it. Matter of fact, we seen part of it last night. Something happened in the spirit realm in this place last night. And not just in this ministry here, but in my ministry too. There was some other things. Now, we've been seeing this happening as we've been traveling. See, God told me to take teams. Everybody say teams. Take teams of the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and the evangelist and the pastors. See, you get the pastor in the church, and if we all work together, see, we can really do something. See, the reason, now let me say this since I'm going. Let me show you something on the 12th chapter. Well, let's start with the first verse. Now, keep that in mind. He's talking about discerning the Lord's body. Well, physically, Jesus' body, but spiritually, we're all the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. He's the administrator of the body of Christ. He's the one, but we're all the body of Christ. Are you listening? So we need to discern each one another's function in the body of Christ. This is the reason why the church has been weak in the past. Yeah. But notice what he says in the 12th chapter, the first verse. Now, everybody say now. See, he's brought out the point that we need to discern the different parts in the body of Christ. Now he's going to start talking about now concerning spiritual gifts. Now that gifts is italicized in the Bible, which means was never there in the original. Isn't that right, brother? Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For on my background, that means don't be stupid. For you intellectual people, how about misinformed? It all means the same thing. Stupid, misinformed, or ignorant. Whatever fits your place. Can you say amen? Amen? He does not want us to be ignorant, misinformed, or stupid concerning spiritual things in the body of Christ. I like to put that spiritual, say now, concerning spiritual things in the body of Christ. That's my interpretation. That's what he's saying. Because you got to realize he's talking about the body of Christ. Can you say amen? So he said, now then he gets talking about. Now he goes down to the fourth chapter, fourth verse. Now there are differences or diversities of gifts. Now that's in the original. Gifts, plural. That means different gifts. Isn't that right, Doc? That's different gifts. Now, the way that the Lord has revealed to me and studying it by the Holy Spirit, He's just not talking about the gifts of the Spirit there, that plural. He's not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's also talking about the gift ministries. Huh? See, look at it. He said, now there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. So with my fast lightning mind, that indicates to me, it says the same Lord, that the Lord is the administrator of them. See, the Lord is the head of the church. So He's the one that ministrates. He's the one that ministrates the gifts and who they operate or who they flow through. Now notice, then it goes on and it reads this. And there are differences of operations, but it's the same God's would work it all in all. All right, this indicates to me God is the main operator of everything. Can you see that? God is the operator. Jesus is the administrator. I like to put it this way. Come here, God. Come over here. You're God. For you can see it. You're God. Now I need Jesus. Come here, Jesus. You're on the right hand of God. Now I need the Holy Ghost. Who wants to be the Holy Ghost? Glory to God. You want to be the Holy Ghost? Come over here, Holy Ghost. You get on the other side. Now, God is the operator of the gifts of the Spirit, and He's the gifts, and He's also the operator of the gift ministries. He operates it through Jesus, which is the head of the church. And Jesus is the one that ministrates the different gifts. Now, I want you to look at it. See, you did not hire, you didn't appoint a pastor. God is the operator of the pastor. Jesus is the ministrator where that pastor goes. Then the Holy Ghost is down here on earth, and He's the one that manifests it. Now I want you to follow, go like this around me and whisper in my ear. See, when I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost, here's the Holy Ghost manifesting what the operator and then the administrator administrated, and He's the one that manifests it. Isn't that what it says? Look what it says. Who's the manifester? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Well, the Holy Ghost is the manifester. Did you see that, how that works? And that is so simple to me. That's the way God showed it to me. God, sit down with your most reverence. Sit down. Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Now, wasn't that a good illustration? That's about as simple as you get. With that in mind, and there are differences of ministrations, but it's the same Lord. The Lord is the ministrator of. And there are differences of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the profit with all. Now, you got to notice when He said gives, plural. Now, go over the 28th verse. There are operations, there are ministrations, and there are manifestation of the gift ministries in the body of Christ. Now, you see, this is where more revelation knowledge is coming. We're going to start. Remember, I brought out the point last night. Let me say it again. That when the New Testament church started, first there was apostles, secondly the prophets, thirdly teachers, and what? Pastors and evangelists. Flip it over, 47 waves. This is the way God showed me. The evangelists came on the scene. God restored an evangelist. And we haven't heard, you're going to hear more about the evangelist ministry. And then the pastor come up in the charismatic. And then the teacher the last 20 years. And now you're going to start seeing the manifestation of the prophets in the apostles ministry. Can you say amen? You're going to start saying, see, that's the way the New Testament church came in. And that's the way it's going to go out. Because it's the prophets and the apostles that lay the foundation with Jesus, the chief cornerstone. You see, we need the prophet's ministry now to bring light, to bring revelation. Well, of course, we got the Word of God, but we need the light and the revelation which way to go. And the prophet is the one. He is the eye to the body of Christ. He is the seer. He's the one that brings light. And then the pastors and the teachers build on that. What? That revelation knowledge of which way we're supposed to go. Well, you need to listen to the men of God. You need to listen to the qualified prophets. Just like last July at the camp meeting, a lot of people got upset at some of the things that Brother Hagin said. They got all upset, and they don't understand He's bringing light. He's trying to help them. You know what's happening? See, what the Word of Faith people, they're nervous right now. Well, what happened? The big auditoriums, they're kind of getting lower and lower and population-wise. Before, 20,000, 30,000 people come out and hear a guy just get up and open the Bible and teach for 4 hours. But see, that wave is winning, so they're nervous. So they're trying to push something. They're getting dancing girls to come up in leotards and everything. They're trying to do everything they can. They're trying to do everything they can to push. And they say that's the move of the Spirit when it's the move of lust. You didn't hire me, so you can't fire me. I come on love offering basis. Can you say amen? So we need, that's what I'm talking about, we need these gift ministries. Notice, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Notice that teaching's more important than miracles. You want to know why? It's because without the right teaching, you won't be able to keep the miracles. So we need the teacher. We're not doing away with it. Don't you go out here and say, well, Ed said we're not needing teachers no more. I never said that. We need the evangelist, and you're going to... I believe, but right before Jesus comes, you're going to see all five of them flow in unity and working as team. I call it teamwork. That we're all going to work together in teamwork. Nobody out trying to... Everyone manifests their ministry differently. And who is the manifester? The Holy Ghost through them. I'm not the same as Buddy Harrison. I'm not the same as Dave Robeson. I'm not the same. We're all differently. We're different. God works through our personality. But God is the operator of it. Jesus is the administrator of it. And the Holy Ghost is down in this earth to manifest it. What they give the orders. Isn't that good stuff? You see? Can you see that? Now, we need to keep that in mind. And the reason the church is weak. I heard one pastor on TV. Bless his ignorant, misformed, stupid head. He said, now if God wants a prophet in our church, then I will be the prophet. I said, he don't know nothing about 1 Corinthians 12. I went to a meeting over here in Springfield, Missouri. I won't name the name of the denomination, but their headquarters are over there. And got over there and they were talking about that God doing away with, we don't have apostles and we don't have prophets today. I said, it's over there, Dr. Summerall and Brother Blue flew over there to hear what these guys got to say and so forth like that. And I said, they don't know nothing about 1 Corinthians 12. And that denomination came out of the 1907 wave. And if you read their tenets of faith, you'll find out they believe in the give ministries and the gives of the Spirit when they first started out. Can you say amen? They say, well, those are passed away. No, they're not passed away. The church, that's what I mean. They don't discern. And they say, if we need a prophet, if we need an evangelist, I'll be. See, that's the trouble. The pastor's trying to do everything. And that's why, I'll tell you this, I'm going to share this with you, what God just shared with me. I said, God, why does people move around so much? Why does people go from church to church? And for years, I'd beat them over the head. Get involved. Stay in the same place. God said, well, have you ever seen a horse that needs certain ingredients and what it does? Of course, some of them, you know, they're bored, but some of them too. Have you ever seen them eat on a fence and chew on a fence and eat a fence up and everything else? Well, see, that animal or other animal or children, you need a certain iron, they'll start chewing on different things. It's because they need those ingredients in their system. A church to be fully satisfied needs all the five gift ministries, because a pastor just can't give them everything. And you know that yourself. They can't. It takes all those gifts. See, they're not discerning the other parts that God has set in the church. And that's why they're weak, and that's why they're dying. That's why pastors have nervous breakdowns.
Come on.
That's why they have stomach ulcers. That's why they have mental problems, because they're trying to do it all. I mean, if you need a prophet to come in and say what God is saying or what God, read their mail, then have a prophet. Don't you read their mail, because then they'll go out and say, well, he knew about me and he went around telling everybody. But you have a guy come like me or Tim Tanner or somebody else who starts reading mail, well, how does he know? He's a prophet. Can you see what I'm talking about? And mend that. See, we need one another.
Amen.
We can't do it all. I can't do it all. That's why I'm believing in a pastor for my church. I can't pastor that thing. God's told me to do other things, but yet he told me to raise that up, because every start of a movement, I mean, not every start, but when we start, I had, when the faith movement, I can't talk. My mouth can't keep up what's coming out of me. Slow down, Lord, help me. When we first started our church, you couldn't count them on your 10 fingers. We had one of the first word of faith. Everybody say word of faith.
Word of faith.
And it wasn't popular then.
Oh, no.
I mean, they tried to crucify us and everything. Back then, it wasn't popular to have a faith shirt. You remember Copeland years ago interviewed me and said, how can you preach faith and still pastor? Back then, you couldn't preach faith and pastor. Now we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of world churches all over. Well, see, when I first started out, that was a forerunner. Now God said, now I want you to forerun another type of a church. Where the body of Christ will see where all the team and the five gift ministries can work. The pastor working together. He's not trying to outdo, well, I'm head honcho and this other one, I'm the head honcho. And fussing and fighting, but working together and recognize. See, discerning. See, that's the weakness that we've had in the church. And that's why it's been such a load. And pastors say, I'm so loaded down. I said, well, do you have other gift ministries? Well, you know, we can't really afford to bring anybody in. I said, now that's lying. You can too afford if you do your business right. I you know what I tell smaller churches or even bigger churches? Is I said, you know, take a second offering for the next 2 months after each Sunday morning service and Sunday night service and lay that aside. See, that's being a good businessman. And then when they come in, you're not under no strain of finances. You see what I'm talking about? See, we need to work together with one another. That's why when God said, I want you to do here. We're going to bring a team in here. We're not going to worry about finance. We're not going to worry about God will take care of our name. But we're going to get after this city. Glory! Hallelujah! Well, yeah, but isn't there going to be a big name guy? No, that's coming to an end.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? There's no reason when my sinner and they say, oh, they just said you've been gone for 6 months. I didn't even notice you was gone, Brother Ed. Now that's the way it should be. Where's our pastor? Why ain't he at the back door? I've got problems. I got problems. What, well, is he the problem solver or something? Is he the one that's supposed to solve all your problems? He ain't Jesus. He just gets down with the sheep and smell like the sheep. That doesn't mean he's Jesus. Your problem is, honey, you just don't pray. Bible says if you're going through a test and trial, let him pray. You pray. You pray. You want everybody to pray. I want the prayer tower to pray. I want my pastor to pray. I want everybody to pray. While you sit and watch as the stomach turns. No, it don't work that way. You asked me to come. I asked Pastor, I said, are they sure they're ready for me? Last night, the guy didn't even preach. He just sat down, let God take over. I can go show you I didn't have nothing. It's the Holy Ghost. I said, it's the Holy Ghost. We lift men up too much. Well, of course, there's God sits in the church. We are to give honor where honor is due. But moving right along, since that went over so big. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then after that miracles, and you know, and pastors and so forth. So we need to discern these different men. See, the trouble is with a lot of people that they do not discern their pastor that God set in there. They look at him as a hireling. They look at him as driving this church bus. They look at him as he ought to make sure that you know everything is done. And you know the deacon board. They say, "Well, we want you." So what they do is they hire a pastor to do all the legwork. Then he's supposed to get up there and say, "This saith the Lord." No, what you're going to get is some toilet water on you. That's what he's been. That's what you've been having him doing, cleaning toilets instead of being before the Lord. Huh? It's because you don't discern, see? You don't discern the other gift ministries. Where'd that come from? I'm not that fast to think something up like that. Are you getting anything out of all this? Glory to God. You see, we need to discern these different gift ministries. See, you know, and oh, there in the 12th chapter, he talks about the rest of the body of Christ that God set you somewhere in it. You need to discern. See, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy. You'll always be miserable until you find where God set you in the body of Christ. I don't care if you're just an intercessor. Just an intercessor. There's more to just being an intercessor. If God has you make doilies, if that's what God told you to do, then you are very important. You got to remember, you just see mostly the face and the body of Christ, but you don't see the little toes. And the toes and the feet are the ones that hold up the body of Christ. So we need one another. See, we need to discern one another where we belong. Can you say amen? Some of the work you're blaming on your pastor, that ain't his job. That's probably your job. Oh, I don't even get in there and run that department, run that department. Probably your job. See, that's what we're doing. And I got preachers. I tell you, I got some of the finest preachers and evangelists and prophets in that body that we have already. God sent them. They have their own ministry, but we recognize. I get up Sunday morning, and the Lord said, "Have so and so say," and I just flow in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I preach and teach. But see, we're recognizing what we're doing. See, we're discerning the different parts in the body of Christ. And this is why the church has been weak. Most churches, just the pastor, he won't let anybody do anything. And that's his problem.
Come on.
Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? For us to be healthy, we need all of them. I said we need all of them. Amen. Glory be to God. Can you say amen? Amen? Now go back over to the fourth verse. Now there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now notice there are different gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. Now let me say this to you. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts out of the Holy Spirit. The gift ministries is out of Jesus. There's a difference. The gift ministries is extension of Jesus. The gift of the Spirit are extension of the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of people don't. What is that? When you hurt one of those five gifts out of Jesus, you're hurting Jesus. When you're talking against a minister, you're talking against Jesus. That never does go over very big. Because people just talk, you know, the way they treat preachers. I tell you, the way the preachers have treated Jim Baker, I am appalled, and that God is appalled, and it stinks in the nostrils of God. I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I'm just saying that it should have never got out in the open the first place. That should have been us to take care of that. Is us. And I'm telling you, the world has no business governing the church. We don't need no some ungodly overseers telling us what to do. That's our business, and we should all pull in together and work together and govern that. And I'm telling you, the reason a lot of the pastors get in trouble is because, and if they have problems in the church, the board should never come in there and handle those problems. The apostle should come in and handle those. The prophet and the apostle should come in and take care of those problems. They're not equipped to do it. The ones in the congregation are not equipped to do it, but the apostles that they recognize as an apostle to that church or a prophet should do it. Now, I'm not talking about that deep, that overbearing teaching about the apostle. Now, submit to me, bless God. Do you remember what I did last night?
Yeah.
Submit to me. When you do what I said, I want all your tithes and everything else. Do you understand? And you don't preach a sermon unless you ask me. Now you can breathe. Glory! I'm having fun this morning. Glory be to God. I tell you, the devil's having a nervous breakdown. Amen. Now remember that. Keep that in mind. The gift ministries, not the gifts of the Spirit, but the gift ministries is an outbranch out of Jesus. They're the ones. All Jesus was all five in one when he was on this earth. But then when he left, he descended and he gave gifts unto men. And those gifts are actually to the body of Christ, to perfect the saints. And see, the reason the church ain't perfected is because they don't recognize and they don't discern all those gift ministries in the church. You see that? That's the way it has to be. Brother and sister, that's the way it is. Now, we can go to an extreme, what a lot of people are doing today. I walk in church and they say, well, this is our resident prophet. Because he prophesied. You know, just because you prophesy, you got to realize prophecy doesn't mean that you are a prophet. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. A prophet is deeper. When a prophet speaks, he can prophesy from the gifts of the Spirit. But when he speaks too, he speaks as an outbranch of Jesus.
Sure, amen.
You see, when he speaks, it's an outbranch of Jesus. When he speaks, he brings light. He brings discernment. He opens things up. It's deeper. That's why when he comes into a city, and if you really pray for a prophet, he goes in the Spirit, he can deal with things a lot stronger. Can you say amen? So just because you prophesy, so I go in some church and say, well, we're restoration. We're going to put all the gift ministry. You're going to put them all in? God puts them in. God sends them in. And the pastor recognizes it. The other people recognize it. And then people said, now this is our resident prophet. One time I shook a hand guy and the guy said, no, he's residue. He said he makes messes everywhere he goes. Prophesying over everybody and he ain't no prophet. He's just a bunch of hot air making messes. So you see, you can't force this in the flesh. So see, we can go to extremes. On the other hand, we're afraid, well, you know, we don't want to uplift men and everything. Then on the other hand, you can go all the other way and miss it too. So we need to be balanced according to the Word of God. Can you say amen? We got to go by the Word of God. See, a lot of people, well, I prophesied a few times, I'm a prophet. No. Yeah, let me tell you something, honey. Or sir. You don't want that ministry. I don't know if you could take the persecution. Huh? It's a different, but I tell you, if you think you're going to be a prophet or an apostle, you're going to have to go through hard knocks, because you're going to be proven. The devil's going to prove you, and God's going to.
Amen.
Man, there ain't nothing left to you after the devil gets finished with you and God gets finished with you. I mean, when you got two fellas, the opposite of one another, proving you. Now, I've never said that before. That came out of my spirit. But he's going to prove, if you really believe, that you're a prophet of God. And Jesus is going to prove to the devil that he's a liar. And I tell you, I don't know if you want to be in the middle of that. Lord, give me a church. I could take the people's persecution. And I can take maybe their tests and trials. But when you got both of those guys, they're opposite ends. Now, are you listening to me? Because the devil wants to kill the prophet, because the prophet exposes his work. And the gifts, that's why he fights churches so much about the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit expose the work of the devil. Just some of these things I've seen this morning, I've never said before. This is coming from the Holy Ghost. Isn't this good stuff? Oh, I love it. Praise God. See, now you can understand, for this cause, many are wimpy spiritually, sickly spiritually, and many die. That's why a lot of churches are dead. There's no doubt, probably during all the waves that God has sent on this planet Earth, the Methodist wave, remember the dancing fire in Methodist years ago, we've read about it in the history book, and yet you go right now, I know my mother-in-law goes to a dead Methodist church. Good thing she ain't here, she'd get me. But it's deader than a doornail. But one time it was on fire. Well, you take a lot of your full. You know, some of the Baptist people are on more fire than some of the Pentecostal people. Pentecostals are still talking about, well, remember what happened in Azusa Street. And yet they don't even allow the gifts of the Spirit. They're deader than a doornail. You see, and I'm telling you, Word of Faith people, you better watch it, because you're getting in that rut right now too. You're getting there and you're starting to set up denominations and everything else and all that junky stuff. And the Holy Spirit's moving on another way. Now, you can have unity. You can join together and everything else. But let's keep clear of all that stuff. You see there what happens. You know, this last wave is going to be quick. You want to know why? Because man won't be able to put a hold on to it. Every time there's a wave, after about 15 years, man tries to handle it. Now, this is funneling through us. The only way you can get to this wave is through us. It's through Jesus. People say, what are you? I don't know. I'm afraid to say what I am no more. I say, I'm Pentecost. Are you a Copernicus? I say, no, I'm a Jesusite. I follow Jesus. You Word of Faith? I said, well, if you're talking about the Word of God, I'm Word of Faith. Are you charismatic? Well, if you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, then I'm charismatic. Huh? Are you Jesus only? Well, if you're talking about Jesus, I only believe in Jesus. Yeah. Can you say amen? We don't all have the truth. That's why we need to discern the other parts of the body and put all the truth together. Then you got Jesus. Glory, am I earning my lunch? All right. And there are differences of ministrations. There are differences of operations. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Now look at me. You know, I've got tapes on this. I have tapes, operations of the Spirit and operations of God. You see, we need these. You saw an operation administrated. An operation by God, administrated by Jesus, and a manifestation last night, and exposed the devil. Expose that. The churches need this to expose the devil. We need these different gifts. Now, don't ever criticize. I've heard people, you know, get up. I said, man, that guy's slow for me. That guy, he's just so slow talking. He just talked. I said, well, get down to the nitty gritty. I mean, nail it down, man. Quit messing around. That's the way I am. I was in a meeting the other day. You was in there. I said, well, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say 1 hour what you can say in 1 minute. I mean, that's just the way I am. I just, well, what is it? You know, the devil's dead. Glory to God. Instead of, you know, talking a whole hour to let you know that the devil's dead. But yet, at one time, you know, how many of you ever watched Ernest Angley? Have you ever watched him? You know, he just wouldn't. He just slow and talking, and I says, man, he's different. And I was criticizing his ministry years ago, when I was stupid, many years. And I was sitting there criticizing him. Well, why ain't he like Copeland or something out there spitting and yelling and everything else? And God says, I want to ask you a question. And when he says he's going to ask you a question, you know you had it. You know that you had it when God said he's going to ask you something. He says, how many auditoriums have you filled up? And I'm looking on TV and his is full. Ernest Angley, his auditoriums are full. And he says, you don't fill up. This is when I was first starting out. I still haven't filled them up like he has. He says, don't criticize the operation of God. Did you hear what I said? He said, don't criticize that operation and that administration and that manifestation through that fella.
Amen.
Shut up.
Amen.
Yo, God. I said, Lord, I judge myself. See, that's what he's talking about. We need to judge ourselves, clean ourselves up when we're taking communion. There's more too. Most churches don't even know what communion's all about. They think they do it as a religious form, and they don't even realize what they're doing. You know, we even allow sinners to come in our churches and take communion. I tell them, I said, if you ain't right with God, you better not take this communion because you can get fried. And I mean that. So much world has come into the church that the blood of Jesus ain't sacred no more. I said the world has come into our churches that were not even sacred. People come in and commit adultery the night before and up in front dancing around and take communion. You don't realize they're bringing condemnation and they're bringing the curse on them, and that's the reason why. That's why he says many of them die.
Die, yeah.
And we got to tell them as ministers of the God, as sweet and yet as blunt as can be. If you're not right with God, you're taking that's just like taking the blood of Jesus. I said that's like, if you're talking about preachers and you take communion, you can be fried. Well, why didn't it happen right away? Why don't it happen like the Old Testament? It's because we're under grace and it takes longer for you to die. But eventually it'll catch up. Then another thing, they take communion, then laugh about the gifts of the Spirit. And you're not discerning that part. But for instance, I used Buddy and Pat down in Tulsa years ago. They had one of the finest churches around. I mean, that was the model church, the gifts of the Spirit flowing and everything. But you know what people in Tulsa start calling it? The circus church. They said them going around and her sitting there talking and people running around. They called it the circus church. And you know what God told me? That city right now is several years behind schedule because I do it. And that's why they're struggling right now. I don't know, man. I know I have a part in maybe helping get that restored.
Bringing that back.
Because what? Because they made fun of the gifts. They called it a circus church. And then go to church Sunday morning and take communion. I've never preached along these lines. I mean, this is heavy stuff.
Think soberly.
Huh?
Think soberly.
This is to think soberly. You have no right. You have no right. You have no right to sit and criticize this man and this woman of God. If you don't like their personality, you don't like what they're doing, then just go somewhere and keep your mouth shut and you'll be able to take communion and you'll be all right. So you have no right to their gifts and how God used them. I've had young men come up and tell me, well, I think I could pastor. You remember, in Los Angeles, we had a church, almost 1,000 people weekly. And they say, well, I think we could do a better job than what you're doing. Is that right? Well, it's a wonder God hadn't called you here. He called me. With my shortcomings, with my flaws, He called me. He set me in the church. He says, man, notice, oh, let's read back over there what it says. What did it say? And God had put deacons over, and the deacons set the apostles and prophets and teachers in there. God set them in the church. Now, if they set themselves in it, then they're in trouble. God, who are you to criticize? My people don't like me. That's fine. Different strokes for different folks. Go over to the guy that's, real quiet and and you can get your needs met if he's preaching the word. I'm for it. There are different... Notice he said, isn't it wonderful? He didn't say, now, these will all be the same. It's the same self-spirit, but he operates differently through personalities and different people. Can you see that? He operates differently. He said, and there are diversities. I'm so glad. Wouldn't it be something if we was all like Ken Copeland?
Amen.
All wearing cowboy boots and glory to God. Can you imagine everybody standing up? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or if we're all like Brother Hagin. I ain't making fun. I'm just telling their person. And God comes on Brother Hagin. Can you imagine all of us going? Now, I'm not making fun of the way the Holy Ghost moves. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm using an illustration. Or if we all like Buddy Harrison. Or like Ed Dufresne. Like Happy Caldwell says, Ed Dufresne, you never know what he's going to do. I don't either. I mean, on the first few years of ministry, I almost had a nervous breakdown, if you know what I mean by that. I mean, you know, I didn't know what to do. But I still don't. I still don't. I come to church this morning. I tell you, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? I'll tell you when you get there. Now, that takes faith. I mean, that'd make a nervous wreck out of a teacher. He's got to have all his notes, everything lined out, and get up there and say, oh, oh, oh. Well, teacher, here's the teacher. Step one. God will have me start on step 29 at first. Yeah? Well, that's the ministry of a prophet, by inspiration, by the Spirit. But we also don't sit and try to copy somebody. I said, Lord, during the teaching movement, nobody wants a prophet. So I tried to be like Jerry Savelle. I mean, I'd sit in my hair and get my hair just everywhere, neat and nice. My pants as slick as be, you know, just as slick as can be and come out there. Now, we will open our Bibles tonight, and the Greek word for that word is hokapukapuki, and it really means hukapukahata, and bode masoto, and hibahanamoso, just as neat as can be, even walk neat. That ain't me. That ain't me. God, there's different ministrations, different operations, but in the different manifestations, but it's the same Spirit that worketh in all of us. So quit putting yourself down, quit trying to act like somebody else. Let me share this with you. I'll never forget, I used to watch Catherine Kuhlman on TV. And I said, man, I was so hungry for the anointing. I mean, you have to understand, I was hungry. God honors, even if you're stupid, he still honors you if you're hungry. And I watch her, you know, and she come, have you been waiting for me? How many remember Catherine Kuhlman? Tremendous woman of God. She knew the move of the Spirit. Now, she might have not known much about what we call the faith message, but she knew the Spirit. She's still on the top of the run. She knew the move of the Spirit. She knew the Holy Ghost. She knew the Holy Ghost. So I'd come out there, you know, and I'd kind of... I did. I was hungry for that. Nothing worked. Then I watch an Oral Roberts. I don't know if you ever noticed, he's Indian and he's got long earlobes. Have you ever seen? He got real long... See, I notice things. I watch everything. I was just up in the prayer tower. How many watched me on TV the other day? I was on the prayer tower just the other, and I'd watch him on TV, and I noticed he'd grab his ear once in a while like that. I said, that's it. That's the secret. So I'd say, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. grabbed my earlobe, pulled it down. That didn't work. I was hungry, man. And then I went to a Copeland meeting, and I noticed he had cowboy boots. And he'd come out there, glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah. So I got me cowboy boots, and my next place I was to preach, glory to God. How many of you know you've seen people sit under Brother Copeland's? I mean, they just the same way. Glory, hallelujah. Well, you'll pick up some things being around them, you know, but finally I was in prayer one day, and God said, what are you trying to do? So I'm trying to get the anointing. He said, son, I want to use you. And this is what he said. He said, there ain't another person on the face of the earth. There ain't nobody has the same fingerprints. You are different and you are unique. And I want to operate, I want to ministrate, and I want to manifest through your personality the way you are. Now, if you got flaws, God will work on that. The Holy Ghost will work on that. Now, let me pick on my friend, because he's my friend. He's been my friend since 1971. We do a lot. We're going to do more ministry together. We've worked with each other. We know each other in the Spirit so much. But Tim, sometimes, you know, he'll get things from the Lord in his eyes. I mean, it's really funny. People think, he's weird. He'll get something from the Lord and he'll go... People say, what's wrong with him? I said, oh, he's getting something from the Lord. So you imagine if somebody when he was teaching in our Bible school, they all, as soon as they're up there preaching, they go. But you saw him move in the gifts last night. See, different. It's different. And we're not to shut it off. We're to discern those parts that God put in the body of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's good stuff. I love this man right here. He's so sweet. Glory to God. Godly man. Loves God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, we need one another. The superstars were these guys. And I want to tell you, I predict that you're going to see them fall right and left, the ones that come out. And we've given men too much praise. If I just have this man come in my church, my problems will be solved. No, Jesus is the one that you need over your church. That's coming to an end. The whole body of Christ, we're going to start recognizing one another. And we need to discern one another. Isn't that good stuff? God set them in the church. Now notice what it said. And now there are differences of gifts, plural. And I believe my study and revelation from the Lord is he's talking about the gift ministries. And he's also talking about the gifts of the Spirit. There are differences of ministrations for the gift ministries and the Holy Ghost, but the same Lord. For services. Notice this. Administration means services. Services for the Holy Ghost. Ministries and offices. There are differences of services, ministries, and offices. There are differences of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. There's different operations going on. And Maria Woodworth Eder, do you remember her? Maybe in your day, you remember her around the turn of the century? She was a tremendous woman of God. Maria Woodworth Eder. How many of you have read any of her books? You ought to write to our office. They're almost ready to discontinue those, the Maria Woodworth Eder books. Oh, I mean, she'd get in the Spirit. You remember how in St. Louis she froze for 3 days? She was caught up in the Spirit. They couldn't move her. When she came up out of it, she just picked up right where she left off after 3 days. That was a sign and a wonder, just like when they stopped the sun. She stopped and she couldn't move her. We had that happen just a month or so ago in one of our meetings. It's starting to happen. God said it'll start happening in your ministry. And it happened. They couldn't move a girl. I preached around her, walked around. She was up front because the Holy Ghost, like last night, the Holy Ghost started to move. And she couldn't move. The ushers tried to move her. She couldn't move by the Spirit. That was an operation of God. Maria Woodworth Eder would be in a building. She'd be in a little church building, and the place would be jammed back. And 100-mile radius where she was at, people start falling out under the power of God all the way around. And God would give them a vision of heaven and hell. So now make your choice and tell them where they can go and get saved. Well, the Bible says in the last days, young men shall see vision. I always thought he was talking about the Christians. I'm not talking about... He says, every person is going to have a right to make a decision to get right with God. Either a preacher preached to him or God give him a vision. of heaven and hell. Make your choice. Have you ever seen that? Vapor of smoke. We're going to see the vapor of smoke. We always thought that was buildings burning down. No, that's before. Jesus, you're going to see vapor of smoke. That vapor of smoke is going to be the glory of God as a sign of one. Blood. Remember, talked about blood? We're seeing that all right. That's when we're going to have fresh oil. There's people. I've had recently had people in my services. Oil's coming out of my hand. It was just dripping out of their hand. That's a sign and a wonder. And every time that starts happening, to happen right before the 47 wave, oil started, that means a fresh move of God's ready to move.
Good.
And we're already starting. You got to be there, brother. You're going to see some more wonderful things happen. You're only 3 hours away. Bring a camper and camp out the building there. Glory be to God. It's going to be something. I tell you, I said it's going to be something. And we're not trying to make it happen. God spoke to us to do this. We've got people. Patsy Bierman's going to be there. People from all, I mean, they're coming. People are praying already. I haven't even got a stitch of advertisement out. I just word of mouth. Billy Brim was down in a meeting with 1,000 people. It was a woman's meeting. And she told them, God spoke to her that this was going to be a history time. And they're fresh oil. We've got stacks of letters that came in and says, put us on your main list because we don't want to miss it. Give us the advertisement where we can stay and everything else. It's getting out. Why? Well, when God advertises, it's different. Can you say amen? But see, what we're going to do, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to see all five of the gift ministries flowing. It ain't going to be just one guy. Except Dr. Summerall. We've got to tell him what night he's going to speak because he won't come unless you tell him. Can you say amen? Gloria, she says, I was going to come in the middle of the week, but God told me to get there early. I'm going to be there early because something's going to happen. Well, I'm excited. I'm not just saying that to get you there. I'm just telling you, I told people about my dedication. I told preachers. I wrote to them. I pleaded with them. Be there because God's going to speak. And was you there the night Brother Hagin was there? You wasn't there? Yeah, you got the tape. You know how he spoke to people, called names out? I mean, he went in the Spirit. And from this day, he said that night he made a turn in his ministry. That night. So being at the right place, just like those prophets were when Elisha was at the right place at the right time when it fell. Pray about it. Glory be to God. Did you get something out of this morning? Put your hands up and praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for the Word of God. For the Word of God. For the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the manifestation of Thy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the goodness of your heart.
Ed Dufresne Ministries is reaching out through a worldwide traveling ministry, miracle and healing crusades, Bible teachings on audio and videotapes and books, evangelistic tent crusades, and a Bible correspondence course for prisoners. Dr. Ed Dufresne is the founder of World Harvest Bible Training Center, located in Murrieta, California, a part-time Bible school dedicated to training believers in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you would like information about our teaching materials, Bible school, or about becoming a partner with Ed Dufresne Ministries, please write us at P.O. Box 1010, Murrieta, California, 92564. Also, visit our website at www.eddufresne.org. At Ed Dufresne Ministries, we're believing God for 1 million miracles and healings as we carry God's healing power to this generation.